All right, let's talk green. It's our green segment. And to me, green is ever so slowly going mainstream. I interviewed the head for a television show. I interviewed this past week the guy, John Velakis. He is the president of, they sell in Costco, they sell in Walmart and Trader Joe's and green. I'm blanking on it. I'll have to look it up. Margaret, just do that. Green and products, green energy products, something. But they sell detergent and cleaners and soap. And it's a huge company. It's worldwide. And it was a risk when they launched the company in 1993. But it is really taken off because people want green. They want to buy green products that they know are good for the environment and good for their floors or walls or the paint they're using. And that's the point. In housing and building design, in the materials used to build your floors and walls and whatnot, there are all kinds of choices now that are highly energy efficient, that the materials are environmentally sustainable, and it's happening in commercial, governmental, residential as well. So for the green segment, we're talking with David Whitmer. Is that right?
Whitmer.
You're an architect. You're all about this area of the business, and you're a partner and director of architectural design at Groundworks. Correct so far?
Yep.
So tell me about that. My impression was, in the general world, when we're talking about sustainability or green, is that you'd have to pay more, and the performance was less effective than the old dirty material that you could buy.
Correct. The green is all, well, green right now is a, it's really not an on-off switch. It's a spectrum of the way you can build. And recently, the state of Illinois, a year ago, passed a bill that adopted an energy code. So that means that all new construction that occurs in Illinois has to meet certain energy requirements. And so where before people weren't sure exactly if what they were doing was effective, now they've got a clear set of directions in terms of benchmarks that they have to meet. And once they meet those, there are tests that they can have that tell them, are they actually meeting these requirements?
By the way, I found what I was looking for, John Velakis. It's Earth-Friendly Products. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they sell laundry detergent at Costco. I use it. It smells terrific. And I get a good feeling about that in going green. And I would gather that is why you're in the whole green world. What brought you into it? Was it something your parents did when you were a child?
Well, being an architect, I've always been a big proponent of building well. And when we talk about sustainability, quality is really the only true bargain. If you build something that's going to last a long time, there's nothing greener than that. And part of the problem with houses and building is like a lot of stuff doesn't get built well. And
boy, do I know it. When I see the teardowns in my neighborhood, I can't believe how quickly an excavator can take down a conventional home.
Right. And the bad thing is that you've got this house that was there, and if they had built it right, it would have lasted a long time. I mean, there's a lot of old houses out. You know, if you go up in Evanston, there's plenty of old houses there that have lasted a long time. And people say, oh, they really knew how to build them way back when. Well, part of it is the construction, but the other thing is that the good houses last. There are a lot of crummy houses that aren't around anymore. So all the
I've seen in Hinsdale a lot of the big Victorians getting torn down.
Oh, really?
Because the owners say it's just too expensive to fix it up, to retrofit it with the kinds of things it would need to bring it up to modern code.
Right, and retrofitting is a big issue. And because, I mean, here in Illinois, we've got maybe 3 million existing homes, and we build about 10,000 new ones every year. So every year that goes by, we can add more to the existing housing stock, but part of the big challenge is retrofitting these old ones into so that they can still be energy efficient as we go forward. And there are ways that you can do it. ComEd has a number of energy programs along with the natural gas providers that can come in, and they can provide some basic assistance in greening your house.
In a few weeks, I'll be talking with a NICOR person about that that very program. But let me ask you, why do the utilities, and this happens around the country, where it's the utility, that the electric utility, where you can get discounts on CFL lighting, the utility which will give you an energy audit of your home. Why are the utilities doing it? Is it because they don't want to have to build more power plants?
Well, I'm sure they'd love to build more power plants. The problem is that it's really expensive to do it. And if they can save energy and keep reusing the existing one, I mean, just think of the $1 billion of construction costs, land acquisition, legal fees, all the hassle they've got to go through to put a energy plant up. If they can keep the same ones they've got and spread that energy out over the whole area, it's a huge benefit for them.
Yeah, the capital cost would take years to pay that back, many, many years.
Plus the government helps give them subsidies so that they can move this energy idea forward, because from the government standpoint, the government is getting foreign sources of energy, whether it's oil, and they're fighting wars to keep that cost low. And if they can reduce that dependency on foreign oil, then it's better for everyone.
You mentioned earlier you were starting to talk about this new Illinois Energy Code. Give us more in a nutshell as to what that is and why I should care.
Well, home building has always been kind of a business where a rogue builder can come in and say, I know how to build a house, and they throw up a house. It's fairly easy to build a house.
A lightly regulated industry, you're saying?
Yes.
However, in some communities, the codes are pretty strict, and they have the inspectors out there every other day.
Right, but if we're talking the whole state of Illinois, there's the Chicago metropolitan area, which is more advanced or more forward-thinking than the rest of the downstate. But there's a lot of building that occurs elsewhere in the state. And we get used to kind of being in the Chicago metro area and used to having certain amounts of regulations. But there's always that level of enforcement, because one of the problems we've run into is that the recession's really gutted the entire energy industry. It's extended for a period of time.
Construction industry. Design. Your business.
My business. Yeah. But not only that, but villages and municipalities, because 5-6 years ago, used to have a train building department. And then building permits end up being a fee and a revenue generator for a village. When the building goes down, there's no permit fees, and then so the village has to lay off their building department. So there have been a lot of building departments where the people who know what they're doing have left, and there's no one there to come back in their place. So there's a big a vacuum of knowledge that exists.
Right. Well, let's get back to that point about what the code is doing, this new state energy code.
One thing that's really kind of illustrated over these last couple of weeks, when we've had all this really cold, this real high cold, is that houses are drafty. I'm in the studio right here. I can feel the draft coming in. It's not coming from the ventilation.
But notice we have LED lights up there. We're good people.
Well, the problem is that the LEDs aren't kicking off any heat.
Yeah, I know. They're too efficient, dang it.
But it's simple to deal with. There are simple parts to greening houses. One is you want to insulate the house. But if you insulate a house and air is flowing through that insulation, the insulation's not going to do any good. So you have to air seal the house. And before you air seal the house, you need to make sure that your mechanical systems are in good shape.
I live in a brick house. Are they typically better air sealed?
If you live in a house that was built before 2012...
Oh, yeah, 1952, baby.
you're probably...
Two walls of brick, though. That's better.
You know, but brick is a porous material, and you've got joints around windows it comes into foundations.
I'm 5 doors from the railroad tracks, and we hear the rumbling of 50 trains a day going by, so that helps soften it up.
And, you know, your roof's not brick either, so where the roof meets the roof, there's gaps there.
The ceiling meets the roof, yeah.
You've got an attic up above, and most...
We live in our attic, but anyway, I know what you're saying.
But most of the heat comes through, and so the challenge is to air seal these properly, because the air sealing gets rid of the...
That is a very important thing to do, air seal your home. Who does this? I mean, Lou Manfredini on WGN is always talking about these things.
Right. When you talk to ComEd, I mean, you can go onto the ComEd website and you can get an energy home audit. And these guys, they come up with there's a couple usual suspects. And when houses were built, there are certain items that were never paid attention to. And there are places where houses are going to leak all the time. So ComEd and NICOR will come in with these programs, and they'll give you this home audit. Sometimes it's free. Sometimes it's $100, depending on where you live.
It's nominal, though.
Right, exactly. And they'll come in, and they will say, here are a couple of things that we can do for your house. And they have contractors that are that they have registered
pre-approved
with,
and all
pre-approved that will come in and do some of this air sealing. They'll go up into the attic, and you know, and they say about 40% of the air loss that you get from a house is up through the attic.
I have seen infrared shots taken from air of homes, and the roofs are blooming with the light indicating the leakage that's going on.
Well, you don't even have to have an infrared camera. If you drive, every time it snows, I drive around my neighborhood and I say, okay, that's an insulated roof, because you can look at the roof and you can see.
If it's melting,
if it's melting, you know
that that's a poorly insulated roof. Yeah.
And especially when we had that one melt, you know, about 2 weeks ago, when you saw all these icicles. You know, you can see three houses in a row that have huge icicles, and the next one has nothing, just a big blanket of snow on the roof. The one that has the big blanket of snow on the roof has been properly insulated.
Now, there is a good way to determine if you need roof insulation.
It's a poor man's infrared camera.
Yeah. If you've got icicles, are you saying, though, that as cold as it's gotten, a well-insulated roof would show no leakage, it would show no dripping, there would be no icicle formation?
Correct.
Wow.
Because what happens is the heat from the house is escaping up into the attic.
I thought it was the sun contributing to that in part.
Well it does, but the sun's going to take it from the top. It's if the house is losing heat, it'll go straight up. I've seen, I know one house in particular, they've got cathedral ceilings and they've got recessed cans in the roof. And you see the snow-covered roof and you see these little black dots right above the recessed
where the heat of the light is.
The heat of the light is melting.
They need LEDs. All right, a few more minutes of conversation with, I'm going to get his name, David Whitmar. And he's with Groundworks, and we're talking about simple things you can do to insulate your home. What were you just telling me about sealed combustion?
Before you can really completely airtighten your house, and I mean, if you're going in to really say, I want to airtighten my house as much as I possibly can, first thing you got to do is you got to get sealed combustion appliances in the house.
All right, so that means they're not putting out moist air that causes the windows to sweat?
What it means is a conventional furnace or hot water heater is going to draw its combustion air from the inside.
Oh.
And it's going to heat
it up. So it's putting negative pressure. It's sucking air in from outside.
It's sucking air in from outside.
Through the cracks and crevices of your home.
And if you air seal your house too much, then you're trapping all that carbon monoxide in your house, and it's a dangerous situation. So if you have these energy home contractors come in to seal up your house, they're going to measure the tightness of your house, and they're going to stop at a certain point if you've got conventional equipment.
How do these air-sealed one or this kind of – is that what it's called, air-sealed appliance?
Sealed combustion.
Now, where do they get the air from? Is it they have to run a separate pipe up through the flue?
The way you can recognize them is that there's two PVC pipes, white pipes, that go to the outside.
I've seen those on new homes.
One brings the air in, the other one takes the air out.
So that's what those are. So I always wondered why there were two.
It has a pump. One pumps it in, it fires the appliance, and then the heat goes out, it radiates out to the house, but then the exhaust air goes back
right
to the outside.
Right. Sealed combustion, very important.
High-efficiency furnaces have been around for 15, 20 years and are pretty commonplace. The one thing that's changing is that water heaters have typically been conventional and combustion, and now there's a bigger price tag for those. But once you've got both of those appliances taken care of, then air seal to your heart's content, and you can really get some really tight.
I've heard that in Germany they've built homes that are so well sealed that you can run, it's the equivalent of the energy to run a hair dryer to warm the entire house in the midst of winter.
Correct. Those are called passive houses. And there's been, I know one in the Chicago suburbs been built, and I know that there have been some down in Champaign that have been built. And those are super insulated houses, super tight. I mean, for example, if you've got a two-story, five-bedroom house, if you take all the little leaks that are in the entire house, they're about the size of a newspaper, fully opened.
So that's a big hole through which a lot of cold air is getting in and warm air is getting out.
Imagine if you've got a big double window that's completely open all winter long. That's how much air is getting out. And the energy code says you got to fold that piece of paper in half, so it's about half size. And that's
acceptable. This is the new Illinois code.
Under the new Illinois code. These passive houses, the leakage they have is about 30 square inches, which is about, it's smaller than the size of the envelope that your electric bill comes in.
So are you telling me that new construction has to abide by this new code now?
The new code, half a...
Right, right.
Exactly.
That's impressive.
It is. And part of the challenge is getting people to actually meet the code because there's not a lot of oversight. Like I said before, building departments have been gutted. So people say, oh, yeah, you know, we're meeting this or not. But you can't necessarily be
sure. How do you get a contractor who knows, who abides by, but is an enthusiastic supporter of this kind of construction? Because I have talked to contractors and they say, yeah, I haven't had a lot of people ask about it. I really don't know too much about it. I mean, they're saying that it's not a big consumer demand issue right now.
Right. Because I think most consumers think, well, it's just going to be there. But, and just because, you get an appliance, an Energy Star appliance, well, that's taken care of. I've done my green thing. I've bought Energy Star, so I'm good. But a home is entirely built by hand. I mean, every house is not necessarily a custom design house, but every, if in a subdivision, if you have 100 houses that are built all at the same plan, they're all going to be a little different because you've got somebody nailing them and putting caulk there and insulating them, and one may be better than the other. You just don't know. But they've come up with this test now called the blower door test, which tests what the air tightness is.
Yeah, they pressurize the inside of the house, and then how do they see the air escape?
What they do is they seal up the house, and they put a fan in the front door, and they suck air out of the house, and they measure the pressure on the inside of the house and the pressure on the outside, and they calculate with the square footage, and they tell you how big that hole is in your house.
Interesting.
And you have to meet a certain level per code. And if you do a couple basic air sealing techniques, if the new contractor does, you can hit those no problem.
All right, so call your utility, Nicor or ComEd.
ComEd's the best one to go to because they partner with the different gas companies.
And ask about what? Give me an energy audit?
Home energy audit.
Home energy audit. And these are either free or very low cost.
Correct.
And at least you'll know what's going on with your home.
That's right. Then
you can make the choice as to what you want to do about it. And there's some high-value retrofit jobs and maybe some lower-value ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can decide how you want to approach it. They probably also have calculators to give you the sense of how much money you'd save by doing all this. And it's astounding, isn't it?
It adds up.
David Whitmore, he's with Groundworks. Look him up. The website is
www.groundworklimited.com.
Thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you.